Yo, I can't. Oh, okay. A higher percentage of the time, if I have to hold up my hand to count, like when I'm coaching, there's a drill where I want them to let, like, how many fingers am I holding up, right? So you keep your head up while you're dribbling. I'm just trying to give an example.
Sure.
I can't do a three without, like, I have to turn my hand and do three like this. I don't know what it is, man. Like, it's like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And see how the one flip? I do. That's, I don't understand what the problem is. Is
Is
that like
that,
hip hop? Like, I don't know
I
why
don't know,
that's a
man. Is
thing.
that like a, were you scarred at some point?
I don't
You
know. I don't know.
had to say three to somebody and you were in the wrong block or something like
The gang initiation,
that.
right? I don't know where that weird that comes from, but it's weird. What up, Kev? What's going on, man?
Oh man, chilling. Had too much tea.
Too much emotion.
If I fall asleep,
It's a
I trust that you will handle this the way it
We
should be
will
handled.
we'll try to make sure the episode is interesting enough for you to not fall asleep,
We
hopefully.
actually do know that we have another qualified podcaster in the family. So
Oh, yeah, she did great, right?
she did
She
fantastic,
did
man.
great.
I listened to it. I even made a cut down version of just the interview so that I could play for my wife and kid.
Oh,
'Cause I
nice.
managed not to
Nice.
curse at your daughter, which is probably for the best.
Well, thank you. I'm sure she hears far worse than what you would say in high school. I'm sure where I do appreciate it, I probably would tell you, don't worry about it. And you know, depending upon the type of conversation, I'm sorry, depending upon the type of conversation she's having with me, you never know what I'll say, right?
Hey.
I'm telling her how these people act out in this world.
Uh-huh.
You know, might be some choice words, but yeah, man, I thought she did a great job, man. I listened to it. It was fun. It was, you know, there was some, you know, the information wasn't accurate. They did try to kill me, but the interview was great.
Yeah. I'd be happy to have her back anytime. Actually, if she wants to jump on tonight, I could just go take a nap.
She is not even here,
Oh,
so you
okay.
don't have that ability to go take a nap. But she will be appearing in further guest performances. I'll give you
Fantastic.
that. I'll let you know
Fantastic.
that. So for those who don't know what we're talking about, my daughter actually was on the last episode, which I know was 3 weeks ago. This is totally a Trek Life thing, by the way, man. Life has been crazy. And although I have bad allergies, I'm like, we need to get an episode out for the people, Kev.
For
But
the
yeah,
people.
Kev has had nothing to do with the hiatus. As a matter of fact, Kev, you know where I was last hiatus?
The happiest place on earth.
The
The
happiest place.
happiest place on earth. Am I right?
Spare no expense on happy. Yes,
Oof.
I was definitely. Oh my gosh. Yeah, we took the spring break vacation to Disneyland and California Adventure.
Wow.
Kev, opening question, man. Okay, I guess this goes into when's the last time you've been to Disneyland? Let's start there.
We went shortly after we moved back out here, or we moved out here.
Okay, I somewhat remember you telling me
Yeah.
that. Okay, what did you think of the food at Disneyland?
Oh. I don't even remember what we ate. Nothing.
Okay, because it's like amusement park food most of the time,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah. It's garbage.
So of course my daughter, my wife, look up all the like good food that you can eat at Disneyland. And
Okay.
I'm gonna tell you like this, Kev. Next time you do go,
Uh-huh.
there's a lobster roll.
Okay.
You gotta bomb. There's a breakfast burrito at California Adventure.
Okay.
Bomb.
Okay.
And check this out. I'm sorry to my people. I'm going to let you down just a little bit, and I truly apologize for this. I would never bring this to Thanksgiving or Christmas or any other celebration. However, there is a mac and cheese and chili bowl at Disneyland.
Ooh.
Right? Yeah. It goes down, though. It's not a
Really?
game.
Does it stay
Yeah,
down?
man. It goes down and out.
Yeah.
moves on through. It's not quite Taco Bell, but it moves on through.
Now, is that lobster roll? Is it in the section of the park where they have all the racist rides?
It is. It's right by the haunted house. Yes. That's what I think every time I walk through that land. I'm like, you could try to fix pirates, but no.
Was it Splash right? Mountain, the one that they're changing, or they changed or
right
whatever?
Right at the end. Yeah. They're changing it. Yeah, but it's like, that doesn't work either. Yo, the funniest thing about Disneyland is the pirates ride. So we're mashing through. And you know they changed like Jungle Cruise.
Oh, okay.
As well. So remember the part of Jungle Cruise where the rhino was like chasing the people. I don't know if you remember that, but the rhinos are like,
I think
so. Like four men trying to climb like a tree or a pole or whatever in it. So they alternated the race because it was like a white explorer at the bottom and four African men above him, or at least what we would perceive were African men, being that the safari was in Africa. Now it's like interracial and intergender. So there's like a woman at the top, a white woman. There's a black male. There's like a Native American for some odd reason. Like obvious Native American. Which is like, so y'all just messed this one up entirely. Like,
yeah. That seems like, and I was like, that seems like a weird place to focus your DEI.
It was odd. Elon definitely could question this one accurately. And they got rid of the shrunken head dude.
Oh, okay. I always felt like I liked it because I always felt like the people of color were a little bit more on the stick and they got further up the pole. Because wasn't the dude at the bottom the one who was about to get poked in the butt?
The bottom was the one that was the brother.
I should finish that thought, that the rhino was going to stick his horn.
You should just stop right there, actually.
Where the sun don't shine.
They've attempted to amend all of this. However, yes, that's the part of the park it's in. In the park that needs all of the most amendments. But the lobster roll is bomb. Like, it is truly bomb. It's like, oh, good job, folks.
And I know that there is a nice restaurant in somewhere that I don't know if you have to be some sort of special guest to go and eat there or something like that. Isn't there?
I don't know. We did, you know, with Sarai, she got like the princess package thing where, you know, you go and you go into this like little room, and for her birthday she dressed like, I think it was, I don't know who she dressed like, and then all the princesses come out and we ate there.
Word.
I don't think that's the restaurant you're talking about, but that just tasted like amusement park food. I was like, there's a lot of money for it. And now, honestly, see, now you just made me mad, because now I realize how much we spent to eat there. Mm-hmm. And it was damn lobster rolls in the racist part. We should have just gone to the racist part. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I wish they would have just said, hey, that's Yesterdayland. If you want non-racist stuff, you have to go to Tomorrowland.
Right, for real. Yeah. That would have been the best case scenario.
You did both parks in one day?
No.
Oh.
We did one day.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you know, they're also turning the gas-powered cars in Autopia. You know what that is, right? They're turning them electric, and people were complaining about it. And I was like, you don't remember almost dying? Like the immediate gasoline headache you get?
Those things are nasty, yeah.
They're horrible. And people were like, we've got to man up these. I'm like, no, you don't have to die for this.
That's Tomorrowland.
Right? Exactly. That's in Tomorrowland.
By the way, did you ever get freaked out when you were a kid? The first time you were able to drive one of those by yourself, were you freaked out that driving was going to be that hard?
Dude, why is it so difficult?
It's ridiculous. And that gas pedal is like...
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you what. My Mustang has... What do you call the old school brakes? Like they're not...
Not, yeah.
You know, assisted or whatever, right?
Yep, yep.
That's what those gas pedals feel like.
Well, that steering feels like...
Oh, yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, like, okay, there's a little too much power on this power steering. It was, there was no... Whatever suspension, this is suspension of toothpicks in that joint, because... Yeah,
I would just like going.
I don't know if
I would like going, like, especially if I was with somebody who had gotten sick from another ride and get on that thing and take the you know, driver's seat and then just spin the wheel and just bounce all over the place.
You might as well just, that thing is, hard. It's a hard thing to drive. But even my oldest daughter was like, oh my God, you know, the submarine is right next to it. And she was like, oh God, I hate that thing. I was like, dang. That's one of the first things I took you on when you was a kid.
Oh.
that's a horrible memory for her, apparently, because she remembers not liking it. And I just remember all the headaches from all the gasoline smells. So.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Before we get to the other side, because we got a lot to talk about. Youth sports is crazy. I don't remember it being like this, and I think it's because I wasn't that good at any youth sport. That's what I'm realizing now, that I just wasn't that good. I definitely wasn't good at baseball. I was scared of the ball. I did not like baseball. Football, I was okay, but I didn't start playing until high school. Basketball was my thing. Played it pretty well. Played in NJB, so... Maybe it was just my house, but man, people are dead serious. So check this out. We went to friends of the family. We went to their son's game.
Mm-hmm.
The game was 5th through 7th graders mixed on each team. When I tell you that there were two little, like they were brothers on the opposing team, I took one look at those kids play for like 3 minutes, and I was like, if these kids aren't going pro, I don't know what the hell is that. Step back three-pointers.
Wow.
Dribble crossovers in 5th grade. I was like, were we doing this in 5th grade? I don't remember doing any of this.
Were they big too?
No. They weren't big. I wanted them to be big kids so I could be like, oh, well, they're just, you know, big kids. No, man. Amazing.
Wow.
And I was there to root for the other team, and I found myself being like, whoa, dang, that was dope. And I'm like, oh, my bad. Put that up. Oh, no. I'm sorry. Don't put that up. Missed that. You know what I'm saying?
Man.
Youth sports is crazy, dude.
Yeah, but it's weird because, like, when I go and pick my kid up now, you know, she's tiny, and she's young relative to the other kids in her grade, but then the older kids now are, they're at that, the boys are growing,
right?
Like there's a couple kids at that school that are 6 feet tall.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, because it used to be like, if I was walking, you know, like it gets really crowded walking down the sidewalk or whatever, and if somebody's walking the other direction of traffic, you know, against the traffic, like I used to have to be really careful that I wasn't gonna like knock some kid out, you know, over or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Now I have to watch myself because it's like if one of those big kids, oh my goodness, man.
Yeah.
Because I actually, I was just standing there the other day and this kid was being silly. So I saw him coming. I was like, all right, let me just make sure this dude knows that he's going to have to watch where he's going. So I just kind of like set a pick. And I was pretty proud of myself that I didn't even move. But he didn't either.
Well,
he was just like,
just stuck.
Get out of my way, old man.
Yeah, there's a story. I don't know if I want to tell it on air. You know what, Kev? Let's get to the other side. Okay. I'm going to think about whether I want to tell you and the audience this story just this weekend. All right. This is Rapsucks Radio. Kev, are you ready to get to the other side?
Let's do it.
All right, let's go.
Rap Sucks Radio. Blah, 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 blah.
What up, y'all? You are live on Rap Sucks Radio with your homeboy Trek Life and your fam Kev Sakota.
Always with the princess package. I don't know what that means. That could mean a lot of things, and I don't think any of them is particularly pleasant.
I mean, I hope no one like skipped ahead and missed the first part of the show, because that would make this so horrible. Like, yo, the Puffy's.
I was gonna just say in this era of Bad Boy.
Right. Be mindful. Yo, thank y'all for tuning in, man. We appreciate each and every one of y'all. If you would like to catch past episodes of our show, you can go to rapsucksradio.com or any of your favorite podcasting platforms. And you can also catch us on your social media, rapsucksradio, or at rapsucksradio on Instagram, at rapsucksradio on Threads, and RSR Podcast on Facebook. All right, Kev. I guess I'll tell this story real quickly.
It's not going to involve you hurting a small child, is it?
It's not. Although, it's not. All right. So check it out. I roll with my daughter and my wife. My youngest daughter is in playing basketball. I've mentioned that before. And she really enjoys playing basketball with the family. It's like that's her jam.
Oh, dope.
Right? So we take her to the park on Saturday. You know, run her through some drills. There's some cones there for like safety, and I like took the cones, the safety cones, and put them on the court for her to work them. Everybody's looking at us crazy, but anyway, this kid had to be about, I would say he was a fifth grader, maybe, right? Or a big fourth grader. He wanted to play one-on-one. Now, he wanted to play against my daughter, and I was like, absolutely not. I can't control how you play, so no. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to have her get knocked over on the concrete because you want to be a superstar.
Right.
So I said, look, kid, I'll play against you. Just give me a second to work with my daughter. So the time comes. I play one-on-one with this stranger kid, and I'm going to let him win. Right? This little kid, I'm like, eh. Game to seven, I'll let him win. Turns out the kid was not very good at all. Like,
hey, man. Listen.
Yeah.
No days off, man.
Okay, so fair. So first thing that happens is, Kev, I joke with the kid. I say, yo, not joke with him. I'm like, the game's getting kind of long because he's missing layups and, you know, not very good. So I'm like, all right. Yo, man, let's go to five, man. I'm getting old. And little man says, I could tell. What? I looked at him.
Oh, did he?
Right? Kev, I looked at him and went. So at that point, I'm up 4-3, and I wasn't going to score anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But after that comment, I just was like, dude, step back, cash, game over. Like, I'm like, yo. Right? But, you know, then I had to catch myself. Like, come on, man. You just jade. You just literally cross over and pull up jade on like a child. But
you can't anyway, see me.
Right. He wasn't mad, though. Little man was like, good game. He walks away. His grandmother, mother, whomever, nice. Comes back and says, thank you for playing basketball with little man. He said, cool. He said, yo, can we play 2-on-2? Now, my wife had introduced this when he
with
first
his grandma?
Up, so that's where he – no, no.
Oh.
Me. So this is – right? That would have been even funnier. My wife had kind of introduced, well, let's play 2-on-2 before I played against him 1-on-1. But again, I can't control how he plays against my daughter, right. So I didn't want to do that. So – after watching him play, I said, oh, okay, that's cool. So it was my wife and the kid,
okay,
and me and my daughter, right? And for those who don't know, my wife is the basketball player of our family. So we're getting dogged, me and my daughter, right? Right? Like, we're getting signed, which is cool. It's whatever, right? So I'm like, all right. I'm not going to get smoked, though. Like, you're not finna 5-0. We're not doing that. So I'm like, I got to score at least 1 point, right? So the little man is guarding me, and this is where the story gets funny. This is the end of the story right here. Because at the end, we lost 5-1. Okay? But I'm like, I go into my little thing. So I kind of cross over between the legs, get ready to go. Little man says, ready, Kev?
Yep.
Cook, Gramps, cook. Gramps? Gramps, Kev? was laughing so hard, I must have threw the ball right off the top of the backboard on a regular. I was dying laughing when I shot the ball. Cook, Gramps, Cook. I was like, if I don't get a t-shirt on like my, you know, 60th birthday that says Cook, Gramps, Cook or something like that, this whole family is pushing me down the stairs. Like,
oh, that is fantastic.
Cook, Gramps, Cook.
Did Randy hear that?
Oh, yes. We laughed. She was actually upset. I was like laughing. I told I told Sarai when I got home, we was cracking up. I was like, yo, that has to be like the barbecue apron. Right? Cook, yeah. Gramps, Cook. You know what I mean? With a basketball on it and microphone, man. And like a, you know, spatula or whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
Walker, wheelchair.
And a walker. Yeah, exactly. And some shoes on the stairs. Cane. Like
a pair of Skechers.
Right? A pair of Skechers.
Oh, that's fantastic. Maybe we'll have him on the podcast as well.
He needs to be on the show, man. He needs to be on the show. He was ready to talk. Could not play a lick, but enjoy talking trash all day, man. I'm like, yo, that's what the world is about, man.
That's
like,
great.
You know. All right, man. Speaking of, and I don't have a title for the episode. I have a topic title.
It's all right.
So I'm not going to give you guys an episode title. I'm actually going to just like let Kev think about it.
I'm probably just going to delete it later anyway.
Hey, I got it. Episode title. I got it. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Nah. Okay, I'm typing it out. Nah. Just delete it now. All right, so y'all knew we was gonna talk about this, right? And it happened. It happened on. I was so happy that it happened this morning, so I could be like, "Dang, we're not gonna be played when we have this conversation." So, the topic title for number one is tofu level battle, right? It's not real beef. It's not real beef, right? It's the impossible burger battle.
Very vegan friendly.
Yes, vegan friendly battle. I want to change that too. I'm changing it. Hold on. Live on the show. Vegan friendly battle. All right, listen. All right. So after explaining how conflicted he felt about 7-minute drill, J. Cole asked the Raleigh crowd, how many people think Kendrick Lamar is one of the best motherfuckers to ever touch the fucking microphone? Ultimately apologizing to Kendrick and his fan and the fans, overall hip hop fans, for the rebuttal song 7-minute drill. We'll explain later. We'll explain this as things go on for those who are confused. The source for this is Pitchfork.com. The players involved are J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, and Drake, who hasn't said a single thing. Awesome. I'm going to read the article, but All right. So J. Cole was headlining.
I do like how you're getting your hip-hop news from Pitchfork. Nowadays.
Well, what I thought was funny was when I decided to search for an article, because I knew the situation. We didn't really need an article, right?
Uh-huh.
Like New York Times was the first one that popped up. Okay. NBC News talking about J. Cole apologizes to Kendrick. I was like, yo, where y'all come from? What does this have to do with y'all? So I just took one of the first articles I could find. Anyway, J. Cole headlining his annual Dreamville Festival last night, which was April 7th, in Raleigh. The performance actually came days after Cole dissed Kendrick Lamar in a new song called 7-Minute Drill. And Cole took time during his set to address the track, explaining that he felt conflicted about making it and releasing it. He began his speech by saying how proud he felt about the project that 7-Minute Drill comes from, which is called Might Delete Later. And this is him in quotes. He said, "I'm so proud of that project, except for one part," the rapper said. "It's one part of that shit that makes me feel like, man, that's the lamest shit I ever did in my fucking life," right? I'm sorry for all the cursing, y'all. I'm just reading this. Cole went on to refer to Kendrick Lamar's Like That, which is the song that ignited all of this beef, as the bazooka that was dropped on the game. And he said he felt a great deal of pressure to respond to Lamar. He said, "I was conflicted because, one, I know my heart." You know what I mean? This is in quotes. "And, like, I know how I feel about my peers. These two dudes that I've been blessed to even stand beside in this game, Drake and Kendrick Lamar, let alone chase their greatness, right? So I felt conflicted because, like, bruh, I don't really feel no way, but the world want to see blood," right? J. Cole continued. Let's get through all the quotes. He said, "I moved in a way that I feel spiritually, I feel bad on it." He's trying to be competitive and friendly with 7-Minute Drill, and ultimately, the final song doesn't sit right in the spirit. After explaining himself, Cole had a pair of questions for Raleigh, and that's when he asked if Kendrick Lamar was just, you know, blah, 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 blah. "All right, Kev, I'm going to bounce past this to you. I have several thoughts." I'm not even trying to
go
into my immediate
And then after they answered, he went on to perform 7-Minute Drill.
Right? All right. Yeah, go ahead, man.
I'm so far removed from knowing what's going on these days, so I'm not going to pretend that I know. But it's funny because when you told me we were going to be talking about this, I had just listened to 7-Minute Drill, just mostly because I was a little bit tired of reading about it or whatever.
Sure.
And so, like, first of all, if you don't feel a way, then why are you even why are you doing it at all? Which I guess was his point, right? But that's how it came across to me. Was that like it was a chore or something like that, you know, like a checkbox that he, you know, had to check off. But yeah, it's, you know, the reason I say I'm so far removed is because I don't understand half of the subliminals. The only thing I pick up is and it's every diss record, I feel like, over the last 10, 15 years, the only parts I pick out is when they're redoing a line from Ether or Takeover. You know, like their little spin on, you know, it's a one hot album every 10-year average. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, you know, I know there was other, like, don't make it so, why, you know, that's what I don't like. And that's just, this is just old head energy is like, if you're gonna do a battle, you know, diss record, then why are you being cute about it and subtle and subliminal? It's like, there's a time and a place for that. That's not, you know, it's like going into a boxing ring with ballet slippers on. It's like, it's just not the time or the place for that. It might be beautiful, but
footwork might match. Sure. Yeah.
But, so the one thing I do like is I loved seeing Joe Cooley post about 3 days after, that Future album came out, you know, with Kendrick on it, that, you know, he was excited that they were about to get paid off of that Everlasting Bass sample. I was like, yes, I hope you are.
Hey, dude, listen. All right. This is a legit frustration. All right. The whole thing was goof dweeb corn. I'm sorry. Like, okay. I like Cole's verse on the joint with him and Drake. Like, I like that verse. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I thought he wrote the beat nice. Like, we all want a Simon Cowell this joint. Like, it was just dope. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I always thought, like, the whole, like, I thought the cleverest way to say that I'm one of the best rappers around was Jay, you know, argue over the best, you know, Biggie Jay or Nas, right? Like, that calls out, like, gives props or whatever. So we the big three, like we started the league, was like, but aren't you though? Like, I don't know if I think maybe it. Okay, so that's point one without going long-winded on that. Part two is he just sounded like he didn't really want to do it. And, you know, I don't really fault him for that.
No. It's also, it doesn't seem like he doesn't seem like that type of dude, really. You know what I mean? Like,
everybody going crazy, man. Like, now you got all the man codes coming out. You got to eat a flashlight whole and kill chickens with your eyesight. Like, it's like, come on, man. Like, if he didn't want to battle, he didn't want to battle. And, oh, but what about all the records with the metaphors about guns? I mean, come on, man. Like, what does that have to do with anything? He didn't really want to battle. He battled because he felt like he had to battle. However, if you gonna go, man, just go.
Yeah, like...
Like, all this retraction, like...
Yeah.
I get it. But just go. If you gonna go, go. I understand that he ended up conflicted about what he was doing and felt like he had... And I was like, he probably cut the check to Kendrick already for the promotion for Might Delete Later. You know what I'm saying? It's like, all right, I feel conflicted. I already paid for this, right? Because... I don't know. Nobody finds the irony in the fact that a project dropped two days after a little diss drops. You know what I'm saying? Like, it all seems so contrived and so prepared and so like, ugh. I don't know.
You think someone talked him into it?
That's the only part. Yeah.
Someone talked him into doing it?
I do. I almost think that it was a lineup for promotion.
Hmm.
He's dropping a record, a pre-record EP type thing, right?
Yeah.
Kendrick drops a diss song. Mm-hmm. Cole responds and puts out his project.
Mm-hmm.
People listen to the response and the project.
Yeah, I mean, I had to go to Rap Genius to just be like, what are you guys even talking about? Like, because I didn't. I could have listened to both of those records and been like, all right, cool. Yeah, I like that. I'll go listen to Everlasting Bass before I do anything else. And then, but I wouldn't have even known why it was happening. You know what I mean? Like, because the Drake song or the whatever, the song that Drake and Cole did, it didn't seem like they were taking shots.
They weren't.
And that's why
people are saying that that's been happening all along. I don't know if that's true or not.
Oh. Well, yeah. I don't know.
All right. So I asked this question. I'm going to ask you the same question. All right. And I did, to be fair, in case y'all saying this old head energy, I asked the same question when Pac and Biggie were actually beefing. I know that this isn't beef. I'm saying there's a difference between beef and a battle. Although, big shout out to Fizz because... Man, if I'm battling it, it ain't going to be like, I don't play battle. You know what I'm saying? Like, if my homeboy's like, man, let's battle, I'd be like, nah. I don't know how to joke around. Like, you know what I'm saying? Fizz lined it up akin to slap boxing. Like, mm-hmm. I don't slap box, man. Like, you're not finna hit me in my face and we just not fight. Like, nah, we finna fight. If you're going to hit me in the face, we fighting. I don't know how to friendly, lightly, playfully battle somebody.
Hey, cook, Gramps. Cook.
See, I'm ready to go in. Like, hold up, play beat. Nah. Also, I was at the House of Blues when De La Soul performed, and Common was there, and he didn't want to perform The Bitch in You.
Mm.
He had apologized to the crowd for it.
Mm.
I was actually there for that. I saw that with my own eyes. I'm not giving you a second. I was there for it. This was after they had both spoken to Farrakhan and everybody. And I remember being annoyed at De La Soul. I think I've said this on air before, because they were like, nah, you got to perform that joint. And I'm like, oh. Like, dude, why? He's at the House of Blues. He's not in South Central. Like, it's not like this is going to reach. Right. He's not doing anything by performing at the tippity top of Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
You're not stepping on no soil that far up. But, you know, respect to De La for that. Respect to De La for everything else but that. So, but I've seen him apologize. I saw Common apologize. So he apologized to the city. He apologized to Cube. Like, but he also, and Cube's one of my favorite rappers, he also bodied Cube. Like, yeah. Sorry, mm-hmm. but whoa. It was like, oh. My bad, man. Yeah, you know how you got it at home. You're like, nah, it wasn't that bad. It's like, oh. Nah. Nah, it wasn't that bad. Like,
yeah, it's this is know? The thing. I don't even remember how that started. But the thing is that once you get hit in the face, there's no he started it. Once you pass like 3 years old. But he started it. But she started it. And she, you know, it's like, don't, nobody cares. Don't get hit again.
It's over now. Yeah.
By the way, real quick. Did you see Jake Paul hit Lil Pump?
I did.
That was fantastic.
I did. Casual. That was crazy. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't. We not playfully, like, no, you're not going to break my ribs playfully messing around. Like, nah, ooh, man, I don't play like that. Man. People play too much.
He removed dude's kidney.
He sure did. That dude was
stupid.
All of his bowels were released.
Dude, I know. He's lucky he didn't shit himself right there on camera.
Right then and there. Listen, man. There's a pure black saying, like, stop playing.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, we learn that in every community. You learn this in different ways, but in the black community, it's very simple. It's two words, and it could be a warning before the end of your life, a warning before a spanking, or a warning from a friend who knows that the other guy over there can beat you up.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, quit playing. Stop playing. That was the lesson of Boys in the Hood. That was the moment. Remember that? That was the moment. Like, you know, the message moment in Boys in the Hood was when Ice Cube was telling Smokey, you run all the way up and down this street all day playing. Ain't nobody playing. Playing is a serious message, man. Like, stop playing. That's all I'm saying. All right. This was my question, Kev.
Okay.
J. Cole fans were angry. Drake fans are furious. Kendrick Lamar fans are vindicated. Is this fun?
Fun? I'm the wrong person to ask. For me, no.
No, I'm saying, are these the fun part? Is this where hip hop is at its most fun to you? I'm saying, not, you don't have to encapsulate like or speak specifically about this beef. I'm saying, when there is beef and nonsense, is this when hip hop is at its most fun?
I don't know. I don't think it ever has been. You know.
Yeah.
Just and I really don't have a sense of, not that I know any of the guys that, you know, or, you know, even the ones that we met or that I interviewed, like, I didn't really know them, you know what I'm saying? But I definitely don't know any of the personalities of the cats who are, you know, young cats. Now, these guys are not that young anymore either. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, it's like, if you're going to do all that, it's a little late in the game, first of all. And then, and yeah, what's it getting you? I don't know. Maybe, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it was just the promotion or whatever. But Cole's fans are going to listen to Cole's music regardless. They're going to come to his shows regardless. So
no one is ending any careers anymore.
Yeah.
People have built-in fan bases, and those fan bases are sticking with them.
But if you want to go in battle, then do it, man. Take the ballet shoes off.
Well, I have one getting better. Right. Like, we're now, okay, so Cannabis and LL went on the same song, same beat, same song, and just, okay. Y'all, you know, they went at each other, but it went back and forth for a little bit. And finally, it was like, all right, you rap on the same beat I rap on, and we'll put the record out, and the people can decide who won.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In the days of verses, you know, just set it up in battle. Just, right? Like, Hyro and Hobo Junction got on the radio, they got on the Wake Up Show, and they battled. There was some things on Wax, little minor hits here or there, but just get on the record and battle. I thought, I'm going to say this right here, right now, you can hate me, love me, whatever. Hit 'em Up was goofy to me. It was a monologue of him yelling at everybody with a bunch of, it just sounded dumb. Wasn't even no verses hardly in the joint. To me, the part y'all love about Hit 'em Up is the monologue, which, whatever, like, it sounded dumb. Who Shocked You was passive aggressive. Sure, it was dope. The beat was dope. But I thought that whole thing was goofy. You know what I'm saying?
The thing is that if you're going to get in a battle like this, unless you're on stage at the Good Life or whatever, it's like it's going to end up in a goofy place. It always does.
It almost always does. Yeah. Yeah. So
or someone's going to be dead.
Right. Which in this case wasn't going to happen at all. Like, it's highly unlikely that it would go that far. But, yeah. So the next thing is this. All right, let me ask you a question. Because people have been saying, you know, rap is a competitive sport. Rap is this, rap is competitive. The core of rap is competitive. Kev and audience, y'all on Rap6 Radio. At Rap6 Radio or whatever. Whatever social media y'all can reach us on, I need to answer to this question. Is the essence of rap battling in competition? That's the question to you and the audience, Kev. Is the essence of rap... Hip-hop has a battle component, right? Of course, especially b-boying.
Mm-hmm.
Graph... battling component. Rap, of course, has a battling component. And DJing has a battling component. But is the essence of rap, let's stick very specifically to rap music, is the essence, the core of rap, battling?
I for me personally, no. Because I know people who are excellent at it.
Yeah.
They're great at it, but I don't... They're not necessarily the most well-rounded MCs. In my opinion, you know what I'm saying? But there is, I do agree that it's a competitive, you know, endeavor. It's just,
sure.
It just depends how you want to choose to, you know, express that or whatever. And like, and it's these guys. It's like, I mean, not that I'm too old to want somebody to fight unless it's Lil Pump getting hit by Jake Paul.
I was about to say, just cheered that on, but go ahead.
But I mean, those guys are so far along in their career, and they're so much more incredibly successful than many of the MCs that influenced them, that in many ways, to me, were better than them, lyrically. Yeah. just if they're going to do it, don't be disrespectful to those people. Those people who are better than you, continue to be better than you, and have not been able to achieve the same level of notoriety and success for whatever reason. And that's not a diss to any of those guys, because obviously I like Drake, I like J. Cole, I like Kendrick for different reasons, right? Different time. Not everything they do, but I don't like everything that anybody does. I don't think.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, hey, if you're going to do it, do it. If you're not going to do it, don't do it. And if you do it and then you feel bad and you want to apologize, whatever. I don't care.
Just don't do all the apologizing. Just going to take the hit back and then be like, yeah, you know, that was dope, man, but I want to make records, so this was fun and I'm done with it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But
I'm pretty sure that's how Nas wanted to leave it after he did Ether, right?
Right.
And then the other guy kept going.
Yeah, like, okay, we both, can we stop now? It's like, no, fool, this is a fight.
When Super Ugly came out, I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Come on, dude.
It was so disrespectful. But Jay apologized. Like, Jay was like, all right, man, that's too far. Pac resolved things with Nas. There are like little pockets of hip hop where there's these conscious sort of subconscious things. Like Rakim and Kane were allegedly in a heated battle through Wax, but because it never came out, it's hearsay. Like, And I'm gonna tell you like this. I'm trying to figure out whether this is true or not, so I'm not establishing that this is true or not. But I feel like collaborative records have been better than battle records, right? Like, I'm thinking Scenario and Symphony. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking of Stranded on Death Row. Like, I'm thinking of great collective records.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Live at the Barbecue. Right? Like, I'm thinking, I could think of better moments, hip hop moments, through collaboration records, feature records, Jadakiss on Blank Face, on, you know, or, you know, of course I mentioned Scenario, but to mention it again, like Busta Rhymes closing verse on Scenario, like, I would put that up against most battle records.
Mm.
So, my point here is, as competitive as rap has been, there are different levels of competitiveness, and the best competitiveness was, we on this song and I'm going to be the illest verse. Or you put out that record, I'm going to put out a better record.
Exactly, like, and that's the thing.
The head-to-head, it's touch and go with me.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly competitive. I mean, you're trying to, you know, that's why the terminology that we use still exists. It's like you're trying to body somebody, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
but
yeah.
But then there's there are different ways to go about it or whatever, and it is what it is. You know, whether you rap, you do graph, break, you know, you're trying to one-up the next person. It is what it is.
Hey, for those of you who've ever heard Crazy Heat with me and Planet Asia, I was trying to body – he did his verse first. Mm-hmm. I was trying to body Asia on that joint, not head-to-head, and I didn't, to be clear. I didn't. He got me on that joint. But I was trying to, like, every time if you're writing a verse and other people are on the song, you're trying to kill it. Like, especially if you get to hear theirs first, you're like, all right, cool. There's a measure. You know what I'm saying?
I'll tell you one thing. There's only one thing that I dislike more than a half-hearted battle attempt.
What's that?
It's when artists in any genre, but especially in rap, talk trash about another artist like out of the side of their mouth. You know. And I've told artists, I'm like, well, why don't you put that on a record then?
Right.
Or don't say it. Because yeah. That's how I think people get beat up more for that than... you know, at least if you can put it on a record, you know, everyone's going to hear it.
For those moments, been there for those moments too.
Yeah.
Never been in those moments. I think the fallout to battles is the part that I'm always shocked about. Like I some people live for that. They live for the conflict. They live for the, especially in the social media era. You want to say, you want to say something controversial and get responses, etc. I think that that's great. I think it, now that's not the fun part of hip hop for me. Like if I had to scale it, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I would say the essence of rap is actually the jam, like the party is really the essence of rap. It's probably what makes KRS-One so great, because he's excellent at combining the two,
mm-hmm.
like the keeping the jam hype, but also keeping things at peak lyricism, right? But Criminal Minded meant more to the rap game in total than The Bridge Is Over. Mm-hmm. Criminal Minded changed almost everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Bridge Is Over was like, oh yeah, that's dope. But Criminal Minded as a record was like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing now? Right?
Yeah.
The run from Resurrection to Like Water for Chocolate
mm-hmm.
meant more than The Bitch in You.
Yep.
I know that that's probably a weird comparison to people, but what I'm trying to explain is, like, these battle records aren't shaping anything as much as you say they are. Here's the diss. Here's my diss. I almost feel like people who find battle rapping as the pinnacle are kind of more casual rap fans.
Mm.
The rest of us are like, nah, Public Enemy, Fear of a Black Planet changed everything. Or NWA's Niggas for Life changed everything. Or Death Certificate. Or AT Aliens. Like, I'm thinking, or on a similar level, right? The Listening. I could go on and on and on, right? I'm thinking these pinnacle moments actually come from great records, not great battle songs. And I feel like a lot of the hip hop audience would beg to differ with me that these great records meant less than these battle moments. I'm not sure if I agree with that.
Yeah, and I think you put your finger on it. It's a social media era, you know, like people have some sort of weird desire to be in the middle of some sort of controversy that they have nothing to do with, that's none of their business. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And for this one, that's the reason I was so bored of this so quickly, is because it was like, one, I don't care for it to be my business. It's not. I also don't understand what they're talking about. and you know, at the end of the day, it's like, hey man, that's what you guys want to do, whatever. Go ahead. Just knock, keep sampling out Rodney O and Joe Cooley.
Yeah. Just keep paying the homies or whatever. But we don't have a lot of time for the next topic. I feel like Fizz probably hit the nail on the head with it. Like, but the only thing I'd say back to Fizz, not back to Fizz, but in response to Fizz's thing or whatever, like, or in not a counterpoint, but an extension point. J. Cole may not have wanted to slap Box, but he did slap. He do. Now, you can't say stop now. You know what I'm saying? If we slap Boxing and you don't really want to do it, but you didn't slap me three times, like, all right, well, now we slap Boxing, bro. Like, until it's over, you can't be like, oh, okay, I got
that's
you.
The thing.
Like,
stop, nah, stop making mistakes. It's like, because now all the headlines are J. Cole waved the white flag. It's like he didn't, but he also didn't say, like, well, whatever happens now happens. You know, I'm in it.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, but to you, my fans, I'm telling you right now, it doesn't feel right or whatever.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, you're going to say whatever you want to say about that, but I'm done. Like you said, you know, I did it.
I'm
done. I don't
want to do it no more. Yeah. I'm out.
So, but yeah.
Word. All right, man. Well, check it out. This has been Rap Sucks Radio. I am your homeboy, Trek Life. That dude over there is your fam, Kev Sakota.
Gramps.
cook, Gramps, cook. Thank y'all for tuning in, man. We appreciate each and every one of y'all. Catch past episodes on rapsucksradio.com. Check us out on social media at rapsucksradio on Instagram, at rapsucksradio on Threads, RSR Podcast on Facebook. And we are out of here like last year. On the count of three, we say peace. 1, 2, 3.
Peace. You know the sad thing? When what? You popped up on video, I was going to tell you that you were looking like a seasoned vet.
Man, I'm starting to turn a corner, Kev. Like, the youthful track life is gone. Like, well, the young people are trying to help me with the cart in Target. Like, yo, I'm straight. Like, back up. What are you doing? All right, y'all. We out, man. Peace.